The first reading today comes from the prophet Jeremiah, the 15th chapter. O Lord, you know. Remember me and visit me, and bring down retribution for me on my persecutors. In your forbearance, do not take me away. Know that on your account I suffer insult. Your words were found, and I ate them. And your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart. For I am called by your name, O Lord, God of hosts. I did not sit in the company of merrymakers, nor did I rejoice. Under the weight of your hand, I sat alone. For you had filled me with indignation. Why is my pain unceasing, my wound incurable, refusing to be healed? Truly, you are to me like a deceitful brook, like waters that fail. Therefore, thus says the Lord, if you turn back, I will take you back, and you shall stand before me. If you utter what is precious and not what is worthless, you shall serve as my mouth. It is they who will turn to you, not you who will turn to them. And I will make you to this people a fortified wall of bronze. They will fight against you, but they shall not prevail over you. For I am with you to save you and deliver you, says the Lord. I will deliver you out of the hand of the wicked and redeem you from the grasp of the ruthless. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second lesson for today is from the 16th chapter of Matthew. Hear now the word of the Lord. From that time on, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord. This must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly, I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You know, one of the things that I'm realizing as I preach more and more is that sometimes I begin a sermon thinking that I'm going to talk about one thing and then end up talking about something totally different. So please ignore the title that I have put in the bulletin. And I'm very happy to be back here at First Presbyterian. You know, as I look around, I realize that I love this sanctuary. I do. I love our stained glass windows, including the window that commemorates and celebrates the ending of the First World War. I love our vaulted ceilings, and I love the banners that hang on the walls. And I even love the dark wood of our table and our font And even that wood that creaks just a little bit and so satisfyingly when you move around in the pews. And if you feel like you need to move in the pews, feel free to do that. But you know, there's one thing that I've always felt we needed. And that's a bigger cross. I mean, look at our cross back there. It's kind of small. It's demure. It's as if we're kind of advertising our faith after the fact. Isn't it? It's like, oh yeah, and by the way, we're Christians. And so today I ask our very helpful elder for worship and our sacristan to bring out our bigger cross. Because no matter the trappings that we have in the sanctuary, the wood and the hangings and the beautiful stained glass windows, it is really the cross that stands at the center of our faith. But if you look at it, it's kind of a strange symbol, isn't it? It's just two pieces of wood that are nailed together. It's kind of inelegant. And in the first century Palestine, it would have been a symbol of terror. The former Archbishop of Canterbury, Rowan Williams, reminds us that the cross for the Roman Empire was a method of public execution. And it wasn't just a way for the Romans to take out or get rid of people who disagreed with the state. It was also a way of telling the people who viewed those executions that they didn't matter. It was the Romans saying to the people around them, look, just give up hope. We are in charge here. And your life means very, very little to us. So it's kind of strange that in our reading from Matthew today, we have Jesus, the Son of God, God incarnate, telling Peter, Peter the rock, take up your cross and follow me. It's kind of ominous, isn't it? It's kind of like saying, let's take up a guillotine, or let's take up and let's embrace an electric chair. But what does this mean for us? Although we would never say take up a method of execution, taking up the cross means that we do turn away from something. We turn away from our lives here on earth. We turn away from our concerns on earth. We turn away to what is easy, and we pay heed to God's call to participate in God's work in the world. But it's not an easy thing, is it? How often have we felt like Jeremiah? You know, Jeremiah, this prophet who was called at such a young age and who spent his entire life trying to tell the people of Judah about their folly and their sinfulness, and his work was continually scorned by those around him. His words were burned. People did not heed what he said. And his work was depressing, and it was performed amid the destruction of the land in which he lived. It was done amid grief and losses of war. Did Jeremiah ask for this assignment? No. And what happens when he cries out to God today in our reading and says, I have had enough. I have done everything that you've asked me, and I have suffered, and I have been tormented, and by the way, where are you? And God answers, repent and keep going. Repent and keep going. Do we ever wonder today how to repent and keep going? Do we ever look around at the world and see the places that we are being called to serve? And do we ever say, really? Really? Is this what I signed up for? You know, in this past week, we've been watching the flooding in Houston and in all of Southeast Texas, and we watched those first responders and that amazing Cajun Navy as they go out again and again and again in their boats. And I bet at some point they kind of said, I did not sign up for 50 plus inches of rain, thank you very much. And it's a little bit like the white helmets of Syria. You know, that those first responders that work in war-torn areas such as Mosul. I really doubt that they wanted war to erupt in their country. And they said, I did not sign up for this, and yet they still run towards the rubble where bombing has occurred to look for survivors. And even in the United States today, don't we lament the fact that so often conflict and tensions can flare up surrounding a racial divide, and we say, this is not the country we wanted to be given, but here we are. And we did not ask to be put into a world where poverty and sickness and violence put children at risk again and again, but here we are. And I assume that anybody who faces a major illness or who is called to be a caregiver for an ill or aging relative probably didn't say, you know what would be really great? Months of suffering and worry? No. We didn't do that. We didn't choose it. But Christ still says, pick up your cross and follow me. Pick up your cross. It lies before you. It's the hard work of being a Christian. It's the work of reflecting the light of God's love in a dark world. Pick it up. There's no guarantee that anyone will listen to you. Pick it up, and there's no guarantee that you will ever see success in your lifetime. Pick it up, and you may very well open yourself up to ridicule and a long, hard slog. Now, you may very well be saying, oh, pastoral intern Katie, this is really not a great advertisement for Christianity. But here's the thing. When you pick up your cross, you also pick up the joy of Christ's victory. Because when we look at that cross that stands before us, we remember that it is not about suffering, but it is about the victory over suffering. We remember that God came down and took this symbol of death and injustice and said, I am going to remake this symbol. It is no longer about death and injustice. It is about something much bigger than that. It is about my nullifying that death and injustice. It is about God saying, the Roman Empire is not in charge here. I am. And when we participate in God's mission of reconciliation, when we pick up that cross, we are participating in that victory. That victory is sweet, isn't it? That victory brings joy, doesn't it? Remember Jeremiah's statement, your words were found and I ate them, and your words became to me a joy and the delight of my heart, for I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. You see, participation in God's work is a joy because it rests on the promise of God's abiding love. And it rests on what God told Jeremiah, for I am with you to save you and deliver you. This is God's promise to Jeremiah, and it is God's promise to us. So maybe we need a big cross, not to tell us about the work that we have to do, but rather to remind us that we have a big promise in God. You know, September is not the beginning of the year, but it is the beginning of many things. It's the beginning of fall, which is that really kind of interesting time when the impending death of leaves brings out the amazing brilliance of color that reminds us of God's bounty and the beauty of creation. And September is the beginning of the school year. as I know all of you teachers and parents and students understand. It's the time when students and teachers and parents and guardians turns their minds to the tasks of discipline and study, tasks that at many times may seem arduous, but also bring the fun of learning and discovery. And next week, many churches, Southminster included, and possibly First Pres, I'm not sure, will be participating in something called the Blessings of the Backpacks. And this is a time when students will hear that they are blessed to be a blessing. They are blessed to be a blessing. And isn't that the call that is put upon all of us? We have been blessed so that we can go out and be a blessing. So this September, I challenge you. I challenge you to retake, to reformulate, to rethink what it means to take up your cross. When you think about it, remind yourself that it is not a burden. It is not work, but rather it is joy. And when we are presented with God's call on us, we see the hope and the promise that lies within. All praise, honor, and glory be to you, O God.